the Rose of Tralee 2022 in studio with me here, Rachel Duffy from Westmead. Rachel, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Does it bother you? There's no tiara?
No, not at all. To be honest, I didn't even think about it until I'd heard other people saying it.
Yeah.
Look, I think tiaras are beautiful, but you don't need a tiara to be valuable and to be special. And I think that's an important message for young girls out there watching the Rose Tralee and little girls. It's not about the tiara.
Yeah, you know, so. Yeah, certainly not. Tell me about that moment, because the rest of your sister Rose's, you know, crowded around you, but there was a split second on screen where you just saw your face. You were in pure shock, I'd say.
Oh my God, I a deer in headlights would have looked well beside me. I was just absolutely, I couldn't understand how my, like, I just, when you know all those women like I know them, In my head, I wasn't even a shoo-in, because I just thought they were all so amazing and wonderful and talented and hardworking in their own rights. And any one of them would have been worthy Roses of Tralee's.
Yeah.
And I was so, thank God they were around me, because I thought I was going to hit the deck when they came round me, and they were all cold to me, and I said to them, don't let me go, don't let me go. So it
you were going to collapse with the shock.
Oh my God, I've never felt that before in my life.
Yeah. Live on television, the whole thing. Did you allow yourself to, going through it the week in the lead up, did anyone say, oh my God, imagine if you win it? Did you allow yourself to think about that possibility at any stage?
I think, you know, because our Rose tour was so long and we had all bonded so much and spent so much time together, I don't think anyone really cared about who won in the end.
Yeah.
We'd had so many unreal experiences. There were so many tears. There was so much laughter and joy. And we've already been planning, you know, all of our futures together as friends. And, you know, I think, yeah, I suppose it is a competition, but it didn't feel like a competition. And to me, I never went into it with the intentions of ever making it to Tralee. When I entered the Westmead Rose selection, I think I entered it about a week before the selection day. I said, I'll do this for a bit of crack and I might make a few new girlfriends. And, you know, I just thought it's something different. COVID was long enough and I just said, sure, why not just try something different for
was
a change?
Was that something like that spurred you on to say, look, I'm going to give this a go. We've had two rough years, something new.
I kind of think I did it for myself more so than anything. I was trying to kind of build a bit more self-confidence and try to believe in myself and push myself, put myself out there. I said to myself during COVID now, when this is all over, if things ever go back to normal, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines anymore and wait for things to fall in front of you. You know, you just have to go out and do these things and make these experiences. I won't be young forever. And luckily, you know, I have my health and now's the time to do these things. So like that, I was just as shocked when I won in Westmeath. You know, and like that, it was so rushed for me in Westmeath because I'd entered so last minute. My dad was on holidays. He didn't even know I was doing it.
Really?
So daddy woke up, you know, to about 30 missed calls and however many text messages, and he thought I'd put the house was up in flames or something at home. He was saying, I can't go anywhere without one of you doing something. So just to see how it's all come full circle now, it's just gas to me now. I never could have predicted this.
When you started on the road, you just didn't know where it was going to lead, and it's led here to this moment in studio this morning talking about the experience. Have you had a chance to catch up with them in the madness and maelstrom of last night?
Yeah, well, you know, this is it. Last night, literally straight after I was on stage, I was whipped away and had to do the, you know, the few formal bits.
Sure.
And now, in fairness, everyone with the Rose Tralee, all the chaperones and everyone involved, they're so amazing, so professional. Really keep you grounded. You know, and I suppose everyone does want a bit of you when you do initially come off stage, and you do want to see your family, but your emotions are so high.
Yeah.
But we got the few bits and bobs over and done, and went back to the Meadowlands then and met all the girls and all the escorts. It was funny when I first came off stage, I thought, God, it's very quiet. You know, where are all the women? And, you know, it was fabulous then to be all back in the Meadowlands, because it was quite a small, I suppose, it wasn't really open to everyone.
Yes, it was an intimate gathering.
Yeah, it was an intimate gathering, and it was the people that I've been having the crack with for the last 2 weeks. And I suppose when I was there last night, I wasn't the Rose Tralee, I was just Rachel.
Yeah, which is great. What was the stage experience like at you know, in Denny Street, going to town, the crowds last night?
Oh, it was just unbelievable. It's you couldn't write it. Like,
yeah,
I've been told for the past few months, just wait till you get to Tralee, wait till you get to Tralee.
Yeah, because you don't see a lot of it. You see the television audience sees the television events.
That's it. I had no idea
what happens in Tralee.
What goes on behind the scenes. I'd only ever watched the two nights on the television. You've no idea what's happening behind, how much work goes in. I suppose how many people care so much about the festival, how much joy that it brings to people. It was crazy, but, you know, my escort, Paul, as well, he was absolutely magnificent, I have to say. He has kept me in one piece the last few days. He's been so supportive, such cracks, such a laugh. And yeah. I suppose because I was so comfortable to be myself around him, I think I just enjoyed the experience. And I think I wasn't focused then on what I was saying or what I was doing because I was just having the crack.
Yeah.
And to have him on the float beside me for the parade, I was so grateful to have him there because it was a little bit of normality in the middle of the madness.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Very important. Were you conscious you were being judged during the week, or that element of it?
I suppose in ways, but do you know what? I actually, in one of the group interviews, I was in the doctor's the morning I went on stage. I've strep throat.
Oh, God.
So I was up putting the antibiotics, but the day before in my group interviews, I had a terrible tickle in my throat. And I had to leave the group interviews, and I had to get a good cough. And, you know, I in my head, I kind of thought, oh, God, that didn't really go very well.
Yeah.
And I kind of, in my head, I thought, ah, sure, it'll be all right. You know what? I wouldn't worry about it, because I suppose in my head, I wasn't here to win. I was just here for the experience. I was just shocked I was even here in the first place. So in terms of the interviews and the judges, I just thought, you know, they're not here to catch you out or anything like that. They want to see us all do well. But for me, I suppose after my group interview, I thought didn't really go very well. I suppose it was nearly probably better that it didn't go well, because in my head, I was just like, well, whatever happens doesn't matter. That's that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about, have you heard from home, from the reaction there, or any idea of what it's like in Rosemont?
Well, do you know what? It's been amazing. The amount of familiar faces I saw yesterday in the crowd, and it's even some of my locals from the pub were down. Well, I was so shocked to see
people who have never left Rosemont were down.
Well, people who are usually always under the dim lights, vegans, were out in the streets of Tralee last night. But it was just amazing. You know, Rosemount is, and everyone in Westmeath will say Rosemount is a great community for supporting things, for supporting their own. We've such pride of place in Rosemount, and you know, there'll definitely be a homecoming probably tomorrow in Westmeath.
There will. It'll top the Talton Cup.
Oh, I'm telling you, it'll be brilliant. We're still recovering from the fla up there now, so we'll have to keep going. But you know, the first person I rang when I got into the car last night after leaving the dome was my Nana, and she was just delighted. She was crying, and I was just happy to hear that she was still alive.
Yeah.
You know, that the stress hadn't got to her. But, you know, it's just been unreal. My phone is hopping, it's on fire, and, you know, it's hard to get round to everyone and thank yous and everything.
Yeah. There'll be time for that.
That's it. I'm just trying to savour it all and just let it wash over me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we're going to keep you on schedule here. We're going to keep you for a couple of more minutes and talk a bit more. We'll be hearing lots of messages coming in. Congratulations as well. We'll get to that and more with the Rose of Tralee 2022, Rachel Duff. Staying with us here in studio here on Kerry today. We'll get to more after we take these. Keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us, especially if you're anything to say to the new Rose of Tralee for 2022. Rachel Duffy from Rosemount in Westmeath is in studio with us. 86-year-old Paddy from Tralee would like to congratulate Rachel on her win of the Rose of Tralee title. Paddy met Rachel and some of the other roses on the streets of Tralee during the festival and fell in love with her. She just shines, says Paddy. So there you go. There's an 86-year-old man pledging his love for you, Rachel. He was not a bit surprised when her name was announced. She's a credit to her family and to Westmeath, as all the girls were to their families and supporters. And a couple of more things Paddy's saying. He says the music RT played for the ad breaks. They did not play the Rose of Tralee song. The festival is based around the song, which has made the festival famous worldwide. Paddy thought that was the wrong decision. This is for the ad break music, I should say. Paddy thinks so. Maybe something they'll tweak for next year. Paddy, great stuff. Thanks a million for that. Rachel, look, your plans, your teaching plans, your languages, Spanish, all that, have you even had time to think about the implications about that? You were in Galway and you were heading back to Galway, was that the plan?
Yeah, so I just graduated in 2021 and I kind of had taken this past year just as a year out to work and to, I suppose, focus on my hobbies and other things that I was interested in, because I found COVID very hard and I found it very hard to study during COVID. I'm so social, like I found it very difficult.
The isolation of it, trying to do it online, very tough.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, you know, I don't think I'm willing to go into a master's if it's going to be online. So I said, you know what, just take a year, figure it out. You know, college will be there. And that was always part of the plan. And I think if I hadn't had that conversation with myself and decided to take that time, I would have never even considered entering the Rose of Tralee and I wouldn't be here. But, you know, even with COVID, I was in Spain on my Erasmus when COVID hit and none of us were planning on that happening and being whisked back home. And, you know, I'm just getting used to uncertainty at this point and I'm being comfortable with things not being permanent in that sense. Yeah. So I'm just getting better now at just rolling with the punches and whatever happens will happen.
Yeah, you'd said that you wanted to do a bit more travelling, maybe get that feeling of losing out on the Spanish experience and maybe going to South America. And now you'll have a year of travelling with the Rose of Tralee.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when people talk to me about it, you gain so much from this privilege and it's like, people are constantly reminding me like, oh, and you get to do this and you get to do that. And I'm kind of going, I can't believe this is my life now.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Absolutely. It's just unreal.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to that, look, that idea of building yourself up, as you mentioned, the decision to come into it was to be a bit more confident, a bit more self-confident, put yourself out there. It's obviously an important message and something that I suppose the Rose of Tralee itself tries to instill or tries to represent, I suppose, that, you know, mental health, resilience, self-confidence, trusting yourself, putting yourself out there is a good thing.
Yeah, I think no more than all the roses that were there last night, there are girls all over the country who have entered their county rose selections. I went to a few of the county selections this year and I think any girl who is willing to put themselves out there like that, to go up on a stage and say, this is who I am, it's so brave and it's such a compliment to themselves to be able to be vulnerable like that. You know, it's very hard to pick one girl to represent a county. There's so many girls in every county and I suppose in centres all around the world who are so good for even considering getting involved. And I think, you know, that's my opinion of it is if you are strong enough to put yourself out there like that, you are definitely a contender for the Rose of Tralee.
Yeah, yeah, you're strong enough to put yourself forward and stand on that stage and be in the whole experience of it, it's a big test of anybody.
Absolutely,
to do that.
I think it's a huge test and I suppose it's so brave.
Yeah, yeah. You talked last night as well about losing your mother at the age of 9. It's obviously very, very bittersweet to think that, you know, she definitely was looking down on you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I definitely struggled in my childhood and my teenage years to talk about my mom. I didn't really have anyone I could relate to or talk to about it. And I suppose, you know, death and grief are hard for young people to deal with. And it's only now that I've gotten a bit older, you know, throughout college from traveling that I've gotten, you know, much more comfortable.
You have perspective on it.
This is it. And I suppose now as a young woman, I have a different perspective on what my mom went through. You know, like when my mom passed away, I saw through the eyes of a child. And now I can see it through the eyes of a young woman. You know, my sister became a mom last year. So that, I suppose, has helped me as well. Look, these things are hard, but families just have to pull together, communities pull together. And that's one thing about Irish people, we're so resilient.
Yeah. It was your community that helped you and your family an awful lot through that time.
Yeah, like when my mom is from Ballymore, which is only 10 minutes down the road from my village, and the people in Ballymore and in Rosemount are just amazing. I think rural communities are just spectacular. They're such pride of place, such community spirit. And, you know, it's not only been since I've become the Westmeath Rose, you know, whether it's been lifts here or there or football matches or going to discos or anything like that. It's other people who kept me on the straight and narrow and kept me involved and I suppose instilled this kind of hope in me and belief that just because my mom wasn't there anymore didn't mean I was any less off or didn't mean I was any less capable of things.
Yes.
And I think I've really surprised myself at how far I've come. You know, I know there's probably kids out there who've lost a parent or might have a parent who's sick. I think it's really important for them to have someone to look to and to have an aspiration to say, you know, someday I can be whoever I want to be.
You'll get through this.
Yeah, and you know what? Grief, it never really does leave you, but through happy memories, that pain does get smaller, you know?
With that in mind, it must have been especially incredible for your dad last night.
Yeah.
First, to have you on stage, first of all, to going through this, and then to actually win it. I mean, thinking back to all that's gone through him raising you as a family after that difficult time.
Absolutely. You know, my dad, he's put the three of us through university. We are all healthy and well, and I suppose we all have great aspirations for life, and we've very much, it's been instilled in us since we were very young to work hard and just to keep pushing through. And I suppose maybe we are a bit headstrong each individually, but I suppose that kind of idea of just keep plugging on and don't stop, you know.
Is he going to need another holiday after all this? That's the question.
I think
he was on holidays and he found out.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's a holiday he'll want or counselling. I don't know at this rate. In fairness, my family have been so patient, and you know, my family and friends so helpful. Like, it's a group effort to get a girl to the Rose
of
Tralee.
Yeah, it is.
Whether it's dresses or lifts or anything else, you know, there was a bit of beg, borrow, steal happening.
Yeah.
I had girls dropping bin bags of dresses off to the house there, and they're still at the house. I'll have to get them all back to someone at some point. But even the girls in my football team, they've all been just absolutely smashing, just unbelievable support. And it's amazing to see girls supporting each other like that, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, it certainly is. But listen, you've got a rosebud, Fia Gillihou from Mill Street, age 9, and I'm delighted to say that she's with us on the line. Fia, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning? How amazing was last night?
Great.
What would it feel like when you heard Rachel's name being called out as the Rose of Tralee?
My family was jumping up and down.
I'd say you were doing jumping up and down as well, were you?
Yeah.
Do you want to say hello to Rachel?
Yes, please.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Fia?
Great.
Did you stay up late last night?
Yeah.
You were partying?
Yeah.
Yeah? How's everyone in your family? Are your brother and sister delighted?
Yes.
Yeah, you both have a winning rose now, don't you? You and your sister.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Fia, tell me about your older sister, Saoirse. She was a rosebud as well.
Yeah, and she had Sinead
at Harvest. Sinead Flanagan, the Rose of Tralee winner, the Rose of Tralee Flash, she was also rosebud to her.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you're on a great winning streak altogether.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have no more sisters.
Well, look, you've done very well. Yes, your brother.
He wants to start up mini escorts.
Mini escorts. Well, there you go. What's his name?
Oren.
Well, listen, there you go. Oren Gallagher. The idea came from him. We'd have to get on to the organisers of Rose of Tralee. What do you reckon, Rachel? Mini escorts for next year?
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea. I think, I know for a fact, the rosebuds have great crack. They bring so much fun to the weekend, and, you know, they make such great friendships with each other and with the roses and the escorts. I think mini escorts would be brilliant.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, Fia, listen, when are you going back to school? Sorry to bring up the bad news, but when are you going back to school?
Next week.
Well, you're going
next
to be...
Next week.
Where do you go to school?
Dernagray.
Okay, well, listen, you're going to be a superstar there when you go back, that's for sure. The rosebud of the Rose of Tralee. Well done, and congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning.
Thank you.
Great stuff. There you go. That's Fia Gallagher there. Rachel is the best ad ever for the Rose of Tralee as a listener. So delighted for you. Lots of people getting in touch with best wishes and everything else like that. Rachel, look, it's onwards and upwards now for, I suppose, the next few days. You've got a lot more media engagement. You're going to the town park to meet different elements of the media as well. And I know you'll get a chance eventually. You'll want to go back to Ballymore, though. Your nana, she was on her own last night.
Well,
she didn't want anyone around her.
My granddad is there as well.
Oh, yes, okay.
Nana loves her peace and quiet. And
yes.
I'd say she was sat there probably last night having a little glass of paddy watching the Rose of Tralee. And, you know, she didn't want any frills.
No,
you
No nonsense. I'll watch it my own time. And there you go. But you got to talk to her anyway afterwards. And
I did, yeah. I gave her a buzz as soon as I could. And she was delighted. Just absolutely over the moon.
Over the moon. Well, listen, that's brilliant stuff. We're going to leave it there, Rachel. But thanks so much for taking time to come in to us this morning.
Thank you.
As I said, you're a great representative for us. Truly, congratulations and well done. We'll be seeing and hearing from you a lot more before the year is out. But thanks so much for giving us your time this morning.
Thanks a million. Thank
you. Great stuff. There you go. There's Rachel Duffy from Rosemont and Westmead, the Westmead Rose of Tralee. The first Westmead Rose of Tralee as well, by the way. There you go. There's another national title and a crowning a great year for Westmead with the Flat Keol and the Talton Cup and everything else like that. If you have a view on that, if you have a view on the Rose, how you felt it went this year, your thoughts on the television side of it, your thoughts on the festival itself, we want to hear from you on the programme.